Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guests this week both lost their first spouses to cancer and were left to each raise their young children. They met, fell in love, married, and have told their amazing and inspiring story in a book entitled The Color of Rain, How Two Families Found Faith, Hope, and Love in the Midst of Tragedy. They've appeared on The Hour of Power, The Today Show, and Huckabee. Their names? Mike and Gina Spen. And we're honored to have them as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a fantastic couple, Mike and Gina Spain. Welcome, an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks for having us.
Gina, if we could start with you, can you tell us about your late husband, Matt, and your life with Matt?
My life with Matt. Well, we met in college at Michigan State University back in the early 90s. And we worked together there and got to know each other and found out we grew up, lived in the same area. So we'd drive home together once in a while. And before long, we started dating, fell in love, and, started our life together. He was in the media business in the Detroit area, following in his father's footsteps. His father worked for Channel 50 here in Detroit, and then Matt also worked in Detroit. He worked for WDIV for a number of years as a sales manager. And we had our life together and our family together here in the Detroit area. And Matt was my first love, my everything for 13 years of marriage, and we were very blessed to have two young boys, Drew and Sam. They're our sons, and today they are 13 and 11, by the way. And so during the time that we were married, Matt and I, kind of had your everyday average suburban life, just kind of living and working and raising our family. And it was in 2002 that he was first diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And that began a new journey, sort of a new chapter in our lives together.
And you lost him on Christmas Day 2005.
I did, yes.
Okay, now, Mike.
Yes.
If you would, tell us about your life with your late wife, Kathy.
Well, I'd love to. Kath and I first met in Chicago. I'm originally from that part of the country, and she finished up, actually was childhood friends with Matt Kell, and grew up in the Rochester area here in Michigan. They went to grammar school together, even went to Michigan State at the same time. And then when she left college, she came to Chicago where we met and dated and fell in love. And it was on a stretch of one of those long, cold, the temperature didn't get above zero for about 30 days, as Chicago is famous for. Kathy came home from work one day, and this was only a few months after we were married. She looked me in the eye. She said, "We're moving to California." And I kind of laughed it off. But I came to recognize that tone in her voice, as she wouldn't use it very often. But every once in a while, it would be one of those things where we are going to do this. This is very important. And so sure enough, almost 6 weeks later, we moved to California. This is long before we had kids. And we sort of had those freedoms to do that at that time. We went out to Southern California, and we started a business out there and were very successful, and God blessed us with three children while we were out there. Kath was an extraordinary young lady. She was beautiful. She was the best mother, just a marvelous, she had a marvelous capacity for love and a very strong faith in God. I was blessed to know her every day that I got to be with her.
And she got cancer, and 17 days later, on February 28th, 2006.
Yeah. Actually, Kath, you know, was outwardly the picture of health. She was 37 years old, wife and mother, vibrant, prime of her life. Actually attended Matt Kell's funeral the week after Christmas in 2005. And as she was in that sanctuary that day, was the picture of health. It was only 3 weeks later that she got a headache, and it got progressively worse, and eventually she was diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. And you're right, it was just 17 days after that diagnosis she passed away.
Mike, talk to us about Kathy's last instructions to you.
Yeah. Kath had taken a real turn for the worse that day, and it became clear that she wasn't going to last much longer. And so she and I were saying the things that husbands and wives say to each other in moments like that. And at one point, she grasped my hand and said, Michael, call Gina Kell. And I had not met the Kells. I knew who they were, and I knew that they lived across town and that Matt had just died a few weeks before. But it was jarring to me, and in those circumstances, I didn't want to hear about other people or other things, and so I tried to dismiss it. And she grasped my hand just a little tighter, and she said, "Michael, call Gina Kell."
The two of you, Gina and Mike, met at Kathy's visitation.
Yes.
Yeah, perhaps
Gina,
the worst. Well, perhaps the worst "How I Met Your Mother" story of all time.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure that's one of the worst. When we were there that evening, I didn't really know what to expect. We had been through a series of losses within our church community. My husband being the first of those, and there were two others following him, and then yet another after that. And one in there was Kathy, losing Kathy. And so when I went to her funeral, I kind of knew. It's going to be another grieving spouse, and there's children now without one of their parents. And I showed up there more to be a presence than anything else. But when I arrived, I'd never met Michael. And he found me the minute I walked in and immediately hugged me. And I thought to myself, okay, who is this? And I was trying to calculate in my head, is it one of the high school friends that Matt and Kathy shared? Maybe, I didn't know, but it was actually Michael Spain. And it occurred to me, this is Kathy's husband. And so while I was there, he and I sat down together. He pulled me aside. He asked me all about my children, wanted to know how they were, and told me that night that it was a room filled with people that he had known his entire life, but that I was really the only person that he knew there that night. And I understood what he meant exactly. We were two people both in the same situation, and we understood each other.
We're talking to Mike and Gina Spain, amazing couple who both lost their spouses within 6 weeks of each other to cancer. And then they met, fell in love, married, and have told an amazing story, inspiring story, in a book entitled The Color of Rain. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Mike and Gina Spain, and they've appeared on The Hour of Power, The Today Show, and Huckabee. Mike, on 2/28/2012, 6 years to the day that Kathy passed to eternity, you wrote a blog entitled, God Got It Wrong.
Yes. You know, I was my faith at that time, prior to Kathy passing away and getting sick first, was more of a, it wasn't a faith walk as much as it was a faith stumble. I was a cynical guy, and I always believed in God, but I didn't really know what that meant on a practical level. And so when Kathy passed away, here I was, 40 years old, father of three kids under the age of 9, and I was left alone. Essentially, and in those hours, you're convinced that God got it backwards, that the kids would be much better off if I had died and their mother got to stay with them to raise them, because she knew how to do those things. She was a far better person than I was. I was convinced. And so you begin to question, hey God, I think you might have missed this one. I think you got this one wrong.
Gina, you're not bitter. talk to us about the price of being bitter.
There was not an option for that for me. I had, you know, what I didn't tell you about Matt is that he was an incredibly faithful man. He placed his trust in God. And when cancer came around in his life, there was a moment of, yes, you know, there's that why me, and there's all the wrestling that goes on, and it's painful and it's agonizing. But when you get to the end of that, you realize he's what you have. And, you know, when you leave this home here on earth, you're going to be in your final home. That's in eternity with God. And that's what Matt believed, and that's what I believe. So it's hard to get angry and get bitter at a God who is only loving and only good. And I know a lot of people don't necessarily see it that way. But in my from my perspective, cancer is not of God. It doesn't come from him. And it's something that's it's random, and it happens, and bad things happen to good people all the time. And it doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe. Cancer doesn't discriminate. But it's our job to remain faithful during those times and to really stay close to the things that we've believed about God our whole lives. Now that things are tough, now is not the time for bitterness.
When I first met you, Mike,
yes,
you made a statement, quote, "The cost is so high, and you'll only have so much currency in your life."
It is. And when you talk about bitterness, or you talk about, there are a lot of people who, to this day, who were friends with Kathy and relatives of Kathy, who have not forgiven God. They're still angry at him. They're still angry at life. And I just think, you know, I read a quote a long time ago by a man a lot smarter than I on this subject, Jerry Sitzer, who wrote, "The cost of unforgiveness is way too high a price to pay. I've already paid a high price. I've lost the love of my life. I lost Kathy, and my children lost their mother. Now, if I take that and create a bitter spirit that I carry with me for the rest of my life, now I'm paying a doubly high price." And so I had to make a conscious decision to put that down and say, that's too high a price. I'm not going to spend what little currency I have left, mostly the time that I have here, walking around with that bitter spirit, because that's more than I'm willing to give.
We're talking to Mike and Gina Spain, who lost their spouses within 6 weeks of each other, leaving Gina a widow with two children, ages 4 and 6, and Mike, a widower with 3 children, ages 4, 7, and 9. If you will, talk to us about grief becoming a lifestyle.
Well, I think that's easy for a lot of people to get stuck in a place of despair. And, you know, grief has its time. It comes. It's a process that we all have to go through at some point in our lives. I don't think anybody escapes this life without some time period of grief. But if we allow grief to become our identity, if we allow grief to sort of become who we are. I mean, and I think a lot of people wear their grief and almost as a badge of honor, as a way of saying, I'm honoring my spouse by remaining in this deep grief. I say, you don't have to go looking for grief. Grief will find you where you are. And our job is to live our lives as fully as we possibly can, and allow yourself to laugh, and allow yourself to be with other people, and allow yourself to experience the fullness and richness of life. And in fact, I really believe that if you don't do it, if you don't live a better life after you've lost something or someone, that if you haven't learned something from that experience and taken it forward, that you're missing out.
I think so many people have this false sense of fidelity to their lost loved one, that they actually have to suffer forever. The pain of grief, the pain of that loss is so profound, and they almost feel a sense of, if somehow I come out of that, if somehow I begin to enjoy life, or if life gets better, that's somehow being unfaithful to the person they lost. And it's just the opposite. It's exactly the opposite.
Gandhi said, Mike, quote, "Wise is the man who gives up that which he cannot keep to keep that which he cannot lose."
That's That's a much better way of saying what we've just been trying to say. And it's hard. It's hard for regular folks like Gina and I to take the things we've been taught in the abstract on Sunday mornings at in Bible study or in church, and you hear those things growing up, and they're abstract to you. Well, now they're put to the practical test. All right, do you believe that what you believe is really real? If so, lean into that. That will provide the foundation you can walk on as you go through these times together. And together, I think, really is the key. Gina and I found each other as friends first. Of course, you know, a romance blossomed and a wedding became, and we've now got this crazy sort of quasi-Brady Bunch thing happening. But before that, we were really just in fellowship with one another. And so many people deny themselves even those relationships in the throes of grief. And it's a shame.
The way we started tonight, you talked about your late husband, Matt, and then you talked about your late wife, Kathy.
Yes.
And both of you listened and looked lovingly, admiringly while the other talk. The book you wrote, The Color of Rain. We go to chapter one, Life is Good. Gina, we go to the second page of the book, and you talk about a love letter that Matt sent you on your birthday, 9/11/01. And it's a phenomenal love letter. That's how you start the book. And, Mike, you're not jealous.
No. No.
To me, it would be like the Green Bay Packers coach, Mike McCarthy, constantly talking about Brett Favre and what a superstar Brett Favre and the greatest ever. And the current, you know, MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Aaron Rodgers saying, well, what about me? Am I chopped liver? Why aren't you jealous when the other ones talk about their late spouse?
Oh, I could never be jealous of Kathy. I mean, you know, I'm so grateful that he loved her the way that he loved her and that he still loves her the way that he loves her. The reason being is that if he wasn't that man, I would have never found my way to him. We would never be together. Because to me, the way that he loves her is something that I admire about him. And I wish I had gotten to know Kathy better. I'd only met her one time in the halls of our church, and I really feel like I missed out on something. And it's a great way to teach our children about what it means to love well. And Michael, that he loved her.
And not just the Jack, not just the freedom that Gina and I both have and give to each other to still be in love with Matt and Kathy, but we give that to our children too, that they still regard their father as their dad. I'm their new dad, but they will climb onto my lap and open up a scrapbook and say, here's when my dad took me fishing, here's when my dad... I want to hear all of that. There's no jealousy there. The truth is, you know, it sounds a little Hallmark cardy, but the truth is, the nature of love is, it's not a zero-sum game. I don't have to steal some away from Kathy to give it to Gina. I've grown a whole new heart, and God has filled that up with love for Gina. It's not, it's ever expanding.
We're talking to Mike and Gina Spain, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Mike and Gina Spain, the authors of The Color of Rain, How Two Families Found Faith, Hope, and Love in the Midst of Tragedy. And the book is going to be turned into a movie.
Yes.
Stay tuned for more details. Gina, who's going to play Mike?
Well, oh, no. I think I like Greg Kinnear. He kind of reminds me of Greg Kinnear a little bit. But as I've told everyone else, if Brad Pitt wants to take the part, by all means.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Abe Vigoda.
And Mike, who's going to play Gina?
I'm not sure they could find anyone beautiful enough in Hollywood.
Oh, wow. Wow, it's getting thick in here, Jack. I don't know.
Think she bought it, Jack? Think she? I tried.
Why the title, The Color of Rain?
Well, the title of the book is really, there's a story in the book that it kind of explains it. But really, the true deeper meaning is it's this beautiful metaphor, because everyone knows rain, that when the light refracts through rain, we see color. We see all the colors of the rainbow. And it, the same is very much true of our lives and the rain that falls in our lives and the tragedies that befall us, that when we look at things through the lens of faith and we kind of let God's light in and we really open ourselves up to that, that what refracts through us is all of the good and all of the joy and all of the peace and all of the hope that exists even in the midst of those circumstances. And that's really where the title comes from.
On October 8th, 2011, Desiree Pettiford of the Oakland Press wrote an article, and she quoted you, Gina, as saying, "If I had one hope for this book, it would be that people would want to be better in their relationships and have better relationships, be better husbands, be better wives, better parents and friends, and they would really want to look at their relationships and see what they can do to make them better. If there's a couple driving tonight who's going through some tough times in a relationship, what do you say to them?"
I would say, don't wait for cancer to enter your lives, or some version of cancer to enter your lives, before you really begin to look at one another and appreciate one another. Remember why you fell in love, remember who you fell in love with, and get back to those people. Play with each other, have fun together, laugh together, and reconnect as much as you possibly can. There's no more important relationship than that between you and your spouse. And I think that, you know, the kids benefit from that relationship, and it's, that's the key to everything. And Michael and I both had that perspective coming out of our losses. When you look back and you have this opportunity to reflect, you realize that, boy, I was pretty hard on Matt. There was a lot of times when I could have really lightened up on that guy. You know, I gave him a hard time, and you know, and I think back now, and it's, I don't live in regret. I don't do that, but I do definitely take that and use it to learn and to share with other people. Don't wait for the bomb to drop to turn to your loved one and say, "I love you, and we need to reconnect. We need to get back to us again."
We're talking to Mike and Gina Spain, who both lost their first spouses to cancer. And in 2007, they were married. And Gina brought her two children. Mike, you brought your three. And when we met at lunch, you know, a few weeks ago, I used the statement of the family of seven.
Mm-hmm.
And you corrected me and you said, "No, Jack, we're a family of nine."
I did. Yes, the truth is, Matt and Kathy are very much alive in our family, and as they should be. As Gina spoke about her regret about not getting to know Kathy, I never met Matt. I never got to shake his hand. But I've come to know him through Gina, obviously, through his two sons, who are now my sons, and his very close friends. And he has turned into this friend of mine, this friend who I've never met. And I find myself missing him a lot. So, you know, whether it be through sort of the old-fashioned ways with photos and videotapes, home movies, or stories around the dinner table, or in the way of our foundation that we started in their memory, we keep Matt and Kathy very much alive. And some of it is very selfish. They were really terrific people, and they deserve to stay alive in whatever way we can do that for their children's sake and for our own sake. But then also, I find myself trying to, from time to time, live up to some of the standards that both of those individuals set when they were here among us. Matt and Kathy both were very strong in their faith, both adored their children, both worked very hard to achieve their goals. And quite frankly, they still are terrific examples for both Gene and I and for our kids to follow.
You talk, Mike, about, in the last segment, you said you grow hearts.
Yeah. Kath was the first one to say to me, "You grow a new heart. When you meet a new person and you grow a special relationship with them, God gives you a whole new heart, and you fill that up with love." And it's, you know, going back to that phrase, love is not a zero-sum game. You don't have to take a little bit of love from this old person that you've known and give it to someone else. You know, Gina talked about regret, and in the book, I talk about my relationship with my father. And I do have significant regret, because I spent 3 years estranged from him, and he was a giant of a man I adored. And nothing more than just simple pride and ego got in the way of our relationship. And I regret that every day now. But I didn't realize that I could sort of take that relationship and grow a new heart for it, and take all of that minutia, all of that pride and ego, and put it down. And begin anew, even with somebody I had known for 40 years. Unfortunately, it took cancer. It took that earthquake in my life to clear out all of that minutia and allow something new to grow. And I regret that.
Gino, what do you say to a listener this evening who has recently lost a spouse?
Well, first, I'm sorry. I know the pain of that loss, and I know how that feels, and I understand, you know, what you're feeling right now. And I would say to you, it's okay to be in your grief and to have that time and to be alone in that, but then make sure whatever you do, you reconnect to people, that you stay connected. I always say, you know, we need to stay connected to God, and we need to stay connected to other people. This is the lifeblood for me. If I hadn't had those two things to stay connected to, I think it's a very lonely and dark place that you can fall into. So that's probably the best advice I can give to people who are in that place.
And what do you say to children who have recently lost a parent?
Well, Michael and I talk about this quite a bit. Children are such a different animal. You know, so many times people will say, oh, the children, they're so resilient because we see them playing and laughing. And, you know, what I say to children first and foremost is I encourage you to laugh today and to feel whatever you feel. You don't have to feel sad if you're not. You can laugh, you can watch cartoons, you can run around and play, and you can have all that joy in your life still, even though you may be overcome with sadness today. It's okay to have both of those things in the same day. But when it comes to the adults around the kids, that's a little bit of a different conversation. I always try to remind people, they're not resilient just because they laugh and play. They feel very deeply in the same ways that we do. And it's our job as adults to kind of guide them to their grief and through their grief.
Mike, when Kathy passed in early 2006, your three children came to you, aged 4, 7, and 9, and they presented you with a contract
Yes.
that they'd drawn up.
Yes, they did. Yeah, I was in the kitchen destroying another meal, trying desperately to cook for my three kids, and they huddled around this piece of paper in the living room, and I said, what are you guys doing over there? And they said, we'll show it to you after dinner. So dinner finished, and they presented me with this handwritten contract, and it said roughly, I, Daddy Spain, promise to never, ever, forever marry another woman without the approval of my three darling children. Otherwise, I will face crying and screaming and worse. And I just thought that was the best. And this, as I say, this was only a few months after Kathy passed away. So I of course, signed it immediately. That was an easy one. And I put it in my office. And it was about 2 years later when Gina and I sat down to tell our five children, or, you know, soon to be our five children, that we were thinking of getting married, and what would they think if we were to do that? And my three kids took off for my office and tried to tear up the contract. They were so excited about the possibility. And I said, no, don't tear that up, because I want to keep that forever. I want to show my grandkids that. It's such a great document. My oldest daughter, Charlotte, who was 11 at the time, looked up at me and said, Dad, we have to tear that up. Otherwise, you have to go to jail. So it's a pretty good idea, a pretty good indication that they were on board.
We're talking to Mike and Gina Spain, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Mike and Gina Spain. If you want to learn more about them, www.michaelandgina.com. Your five kids. You've been on Huckabee, Today Show, Hour of Power. They're going to make a movie about your story. Do the kids ever say, Mom and Dad, we're not the Kardashians here. we just want to be a normal family.
Jack,
you spend so much time, you know, talking to all these people all over the world, etc. We just want to be a normal family.
Yeah. First of all, I didn't know that you knew who the Kardashians were, Jack. But you know, I grew up in a family on the west side of Chicago that where my parents fought a lot and then ultimately divorced. I know friends of ours who have just adopted a little boy from Ethiopia and brought him into three other sons. I'd like to know what a normal family is or what it's supposed to be. Our family is a faithful family. It's a loving family. We have five crazy kids who are just as noisy and as messy as everyone else's. And we happen to have a series of experiences that we decided to write it down, and someone decided to publish it and share it with the world. And it turns out that quite a lot of people are being moved by that, touched by that, and helped by that. And that's just a good thing. That's a blessing. These other things, these media appearances, even sitting here talking to you, that's sort of gravy. It's fun. It's an adventure. But it doesn't. That's not the meat and potatoes of our life. Our life is spent around the dinner table. It's going to Little League games. I coach high school basketball, where my kids go to a high school. Well, it's a fairly normal life.
I will say we did get offered the opportunity to have a reality show.
Yeah, that's true.
And we did pass on that.
A&E Network did come to us. And the quote, of course, from Gina was, I'd rather have needles stuck in my eyes.
So. I did. We sent that back to our publicist.
In 2007, you formed the New Day Foundation for Families, a 501c. Gina, tell us about that organization.
Yes, this is our love, our passion. This is what was born really out of the tragedies in our lives, and it's our opportunity to keep the legacies of Matt and Kathy alive and really serve people that are in need. I know Michael and I both, we lived through these circumstances, but we were surrounded by incredible family support. We had the finances that we needed to get through these times. We had a great church community. Not everybody has those things. And so our organization does something unique, because many organizations focused on cancer are trying to find the cure, and we support that wholeheartedly. But there's another side to this. There are people in need right now. They're losing their jobs. They can't work. They're in treatment. The breadwinner is fighting for his life or her life. And we want to come alongside those families when they have young children, particularly. Our cause is really the young family, so children 18 and under in the home, who have a family member battling cancer. We want to be alongside those families. We want to provide them with the financial resources that they need to get through these times when they've lost their jobs or they're struggling. We do things. We come alongside people. Gentleman named Rick out on the west side of the state, three children, wife dying of cancer. The man simply wants a washer and dryer because he hates going down to the laundromat 3 days a week trying to get the kids' clothes clean. So we step in, we give him a washer and dryer. It's simple. Sometimes it's more. I sit at the bedside of a dying woman and talk to her about her children and her family and that they're going to be okay. And so we have these incredible opportunities, and we love this work. This is a joy for us.
Mike, they say that one of the hardest things for a couple is to lose a child. If there's someone listening tonight that has just lost a child, what do you say to that person or that couple?
Well, I definitely don't have magic words for that. That's a pain that I can't wish on anyone. Sometimes in this temporal existence that we have, sometimes there are simply not words. And when you're in relationship with one another, whether you're best friends, whether you're brothers and sisters, whether you're spouses, sometimes the only thing that's necessary is to be present with one another, to literally be in quiet fellowship with one another, be at my side, and don't think that you're going to have magic words that, you know, everyone comes up with. You're in my thoughts and prayers, and that's great, but. And I appreciate that, but that doesn't help. What helps is be here, be alongside me. That's what we try to achieve with the foundation. Is we're not going to take away your grief. The foundation can't do that, and no one can do that. Grief is a walk through a dark forest, and you don't get over it. You walk through it, and find those people in your life that can walk with you, even silently.
Gina, speaking of love, Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote a lot of great music. And one portion of a song, the lyrics are, "A bell is no bell till you ring it. A song is no song till you sing it. And love in your heart wasn't meant to stay. Love is not love till you give it away."
Oh, yes. That's beautiful. Oh, I love that. I want to hear it now, played. Can you play it for me, Jack? No. That's very true, that we're all very much blessed. We're all given gifts. We're all loved by God. And it is always our job to spend that, to give that away, and to do that with our family, our children, and even people that we don't know.
Mike, as our time runs down tonight, could you lead us in a closing prayer for those struggling with grief and loss?
I'd be happy to. And before I begin, I would like to say, you know, there is no more unlikely fellow out there offering a public prayer than me. I was as cynical and as dubious of things of faith as anybody out there. So I imagine there are a lot of people who are driving in their cars or at home listening who are in that same spot. We talk about it in our book, and I hope that that any prayer that we offer resonates with them in whatever way. So with that, Father God, thank you for the infinite blessings in our life. Thank you for bringing us into Jack Krasula's life, and bless his ministry on this air as he brings inspirational stories to this area, to those who are grieving, to those who have suffered irrevocable loss. Bless them with your grace, your transformational grace, and allow them to see how you work in everything on this earth. And may everything we do be to your glory. Amen.
Mike and Gina Spain, what a fabulous story. When Christ ascended, the last thing he said is, "I'm with you always." And you guys, listen to that, believe that, and live that, and prove that. So keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you so much.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn. If you too, looks like you're the only believer around.